Let me shift gears. You mentioned that you've also worked at the Sierra Leone Tribunal.
Exactly, yes.
You also mentioned that you're a traditional ruler.
Yes.
And
yes.
So we have sort of three different types of models that you may be familiar with. The international model, the ICTR.
Yes.
The hybrid model,
yes.
The Sierra Leone Tribunal. And then we have the Gachacha courts, a sort of more traditional form of justice. Do you think that which one of those is better suited to dealing with these sorts of atrocities?
Well, let me say one thing. The model that we have in ICT West will still have been the best because of the fact that you don't have the country in which the crimes took place interfering unnecessarily, either with the court or witnesses. But Sierra Leone has emerged as the most successful model. And surprisingly, I would say so because in terms of, actual performance, in the sense that the prosecutions are taking place in Sierra Leone. And the government has not interfered that much. Why? Because all the parties to the conflict were prosecuted. You had the Kamajors, CDF Kamajors, you have AFRC, and you have RUF. And of course, lately, Charles Taylor. So, probably this is what has brought about the stability of the proceedings, that the citizen of Sierra Leone see that there's some fairness in that all the parties are prosecuted. Maybe if they were prosecuting all the AFRC or RUF, not the Kamajors, maybe the potential for instability after that would have been there. But I have been there and I find that the government cooperates. When they subpoenaed the former president, he came, the Sierra Leone government, even though they had the special court is very, very unpopular among the Sierra Leone people because they had a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And even though shortly before the elections, the former vice presidential candidate opened the doors of the prison and set free all the suspects who were there because they played a major role in the elections. They were somehow popular, especially the rebels played a major role. That will not be a model that anybody wants in any other country because all other African countries, not Sierra Leone. And secondly, yes, if this model had all the parties in the conflict, Yugoslavia has been somehow successful also because all the parties to the conflict have been prosecuted. In terms of stability, in terms of the ability of the international community to foresee 10 years, 20 years from now, is there potential for conflict? They can see. Can you say the same about Rwanda? No. So this model remains the best, but for the fact that all the parties in the conflict have not, and that is the difference. So I think the Yugoslavia model remains the best.
And why do you think the Yugoslavia model and the Sierra Leone model were better in that regard than the Rwanda tribunal?
In the first place, you find time and read some of the proceedings in the Sierra Leone. The judges are actually try to be fair. They give all the possibilities for the parties to be heard. They conduct a joint trial, but they make it known from inception that each accused is being tried as if he were being tried separately. And they will not let a co-accused incriminate another accused in the course of the trial because that will lead to a mistrial. Because if they were tried separately, that would never happen. If you sit in this court, you will find that the so-called completion strategy is a factor that has been taken into consideration by this court. And the court has put a lot of tension, especially on the defense. And the completion strategy has done a lot of injustice. They cut the number of witnesses, they cut the cross-examination, they put there even to look for witnesses. Of course, the international community, the defense is not always very, very popular with them. They can provide all the resources to the prosecutor, but with the defense, they will not. So the completion strategy here in Yugoslavia, there are few cases. Yet, the international community have told them, no, you can close 2010. But here, they put in a lot of pressure, stop, stop. Now, come to think about it, a problem arises. When Yugoslavia, when the trial in Yugoslavia started, when the conflict started, the international community jumped in and Bill Clinton. The bombing, you remember the bombing? And you know very well that at the ICJ, they attempted bring an action against all the states involved, but the study of the ICJ did not permit them that they can bring them collectively. NATO countries, so they had to bring cases against all of them, even though, again, they didn't succeed. But under the same circumstances in Rwanda, they look away and pull out their troops. The same situation now is repeating itself as we move toward the end of the tribunals. Much as they are trying to say, oh, no, stop Rwanda, end quickly, do everything to end quickly, they are asking the Yugoslavia tribunal, take your time, see that you can, justice is done on the circumstances. Now you ask yourself, what informs this conduct on the part of the international community in this type of situation? I don't have the answer, they have the answer. But it's unfortunate, because that perception is there, that you weren't there, you left the Rwanda, you abandoned them when they most needed you. Now you are trying to abandon them again, to rush the defense of these people, or rush other cases, close the case quickly. The Yugoslavia that has fewer cases, you give them more money, you give them more time. What? I cannot really give you an answer to that, because I would be speculating if I were to give an answer to that. But the circumstances are there. The circumstances are there of one to see. At the end of the day, Rwanda, the quality of justice that is here will be rushed. They cut one witnesses to over 50. Somebody had 100 and something, when they cut them to over 50. The prosecutor has been prosecuting for the past 6 years, calling witnesses. Now, in under a year, you want the defense to end in some of the cases. And the ambassador at large, U.S. Ambassador at large at the time, was Pierre Prosper. He came, he held a meeting, I was present in the meeting. And Pierre Prosper was telling us, oh, I came here, nothing else, the end game, let me know. So what are people doing in order to close the cases? Of course, it is only now of late that Carla De Ponte's spokesperson in his book clearly says that Claire went to the State Department, met Pierre Prosper, with Carla De Ponte, and he said, don't touch those files, the other Pierre files. I'm not the one saying it, it's in the book. So at the time he came here and spoke to us, and I was in the meeting, for me, I thought that was in good faith. I'm not saying that what Carla De Ponte spokesperson has written is right, but I'm saying that at least this is a prosecutor saying this. This is coming from the prosecutor.